Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. So Paul here in chapter 2 is actually continuing the thought they started in chapter 1. Right? Remember, the big issue that he's dealing with right now are divisions in the church. And Paul, in a sense, is kind of overstating his case a little bit. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand the text. I don't want you to think that Paul was a poor speaker. Right? He wasn't. He was very eloquent. You know, to give you an idea, read 1 Corinthians 13. Right? A poor speaker cannot come up with something like that. You know what I mean? I mean, a shallow man or whatnot cannot come up with something. Consider, in literary circles, consider one of the greatest works, literary works ever, on the issue of love. Right? And so what Paul is stating here, because remember, there's divisions in the church, right? And so because there's divisions, he's getting to the point of, look, there should be no divisions, first of all. Right? Second of all, it's because you're a natural man. You know, that we all of us, whatever we receive from God by the Spirit. You know, and so he's stating this case, and he's saying, even myself, I didn't come with superiority of speech. In other words, it wasn't anything that I had or that I did or any power of myself or any gift that I had. It was all God. And God was gracious enough to open up the mystery of God, right? The word mysterion for every single one of us. You know, and so he's kind of overplaying his hand, because if you look through the book of Acts, right, I mean, you think about him, Paul, simply as an orator, right, as a speaker. He goes to Mars Hill, and for, you know, a period for a long time, and he's having these intellectual conversations, right, with these philosophers, and you think about it, all they do is they go and hang out and talk about the matters of the day. Right, and so these were, you know, retired, shrewd philosophers, intellectuals, and Paul, you know, can have a daily audience with them. You know, and actually, if you read the Mars Hills passage, you know, Paul actually quotes a minor Greek poet, you know, and he says, hey, even your poets have said, in him we move and breathe and have our being. Right? I mean, it'd be like, you know, you look at that and says, man, this is a smart dude. It's like the same effect that I get when I read like Ravi Zacharias, you know, or Richard Foster, right? I read these guys and they're quoting all these philosophers and, you know, these poets, and I'm like, man, it's a good thing we got some smart guys in the kingdom, right? You know, and it's kind of the same deal, and that's kind of how Paul is. And so, you know, he's not stating the fact, he's not, I mean, he is humble, but he's not trying to humble himself in by saying, oh, I'm actually a really bad speaker, right? That's not the point. The point that Paul is making is that whatever I give, right, whatever I have, I receive from God, right? You know, the ability to speak, and he says, I didn't even come to you with that. I came in the power of God. Who, right? I mean, who's responsible for the power of God? It's not us. It's just God, right? It's a sovereign work. And right, so it says, you know, my message, my preaching were not in persuasive words, which actually brings up another point that I made yesterday, right? Because I mentioned to you that, you know, in different places, Paul seemed to have quite a bit of success, you know, in kind of his formula of how to reach people, right? He'd appeal to the Old Testament. He'd start with Moses, you know, and then he'd go through, you know, the Old Testament, you know, and into Jesus and the resurrection, showing that Jesus is the Messiah, but it didn't work in Corinth. Right? Because they were a very carnal people, right? You know, Paul will later talk about that, you know, things of the spirit are spiritually appraised. Well, these guys did not appraise anything. They didn't cherish anything that was spiritual. It was all about the flesh. And so Paul had to change gears a little bit, right? And it's like, okay, I guess the speech, my talking, my intellect, it's not gonna work. Right? And you'll have instances like this in your life where you're ministering to someone, right? And your speech, your intellect, your arguments, your apologetic, it's not going to work, right? But that's not the end of the story. We have access to a powerful God, right? And what you need a demonstration of the power of His Spirit, right? You need something that begins to move, you know, in someone's life. And I mentioned this story before. I mean, it's just still vivid. I was having I hope this person's not listening. I was having a lunch with some guy, and he actually was a friend of one of our church members, and he was coming through town. Brilliant guy, right? I think he taught physics at, you know, at Harvard or MIT or something. You know, he's a really young guy. And brilliant, you know. He was here on a kind of like a professor exchange. And while he was in Hong Kong, he was working, I think, with Hong Kong U. And he actually wrote a theorem, you know. So he proved a theorem, right, I guess in mathematics, I guess it's a pretty big deal and stuff. And so we were talking, and he was, you know, explaining, you know, basically telling me that he really doesn't need God. Right, but he wanted to have lunch, right? So we're having lunch. You know, we're actually on Jasper's, you know, and so we're having lunch, and he's, you know, basically expressing, hey, I've got my act together, you know, I'm good, and I'm sharing the gospel with him, you know, but I got my act together, you know, I'm all good, you know, and in fact, you know, I just did this, and you know, I'm smart. I mean, he wasn't haughty or prideful. He was just expressing, you know, I just did a theorem, and then he actually happened to be like the arm wrestling champion of Hong Kong when he was a kid. Right, so he's got brains and brawn, right? And so, you know, I was like, man, this guy doesn't need God at all. And then in the midst of our conversation, I'm just banging my head, like, man, nothing's getting through to this guy, right? Because, I mean, he doesn't need God. He's his own God, you know? And then, sure enough, like, the waitress comes over, and she taps the guy on the shoulder and says, oh, sir, I think you dropped something. And it was a pack of cigarettes, you know, that actually fell out of his pocket. You know, and, you know, she put it on the table, and his countenance, his face changed. I mean, just changed overnight, you know, and I think he realized the facade is gone, right? You know, actually, you actually need something. You need to smoke. Interesting. You know, what's going on with you, right? I thought you had your, you know, I mean, I didn't say this out loud, right? But I'm thinking it. He's thinking the same thing. Oh, so you have a crutch. I see now. You're a little bit stressed out. So you need something. You need some chemical reaction, you know, and all of a sudden our conversation changed. Now, you know, I mean, can I suggest to you that maybe an angel came by, you know, and popped that, you know, the jacket over or something. But, you know, it was like there was something that needed to take place, the intellectual, my arguments. And usually I think I'm fairly good at sharing the gospel with people, you know, from, you know, all different spheres and whatnot. And nothing was getting through. But right then, you know, and it was a demonstration. In that case, it was a demonstration of his need for something outside of himself. In this case, it was cigarettes. But we all know that it's God, right? And so, you know, when you're in this situation like Paul is, right, and it's just not getting through intellectually, through speech, right, what people need is a demonstration of God. That's laid out in a couple different ways, right? One, they need to see the power of God at work. The church, right, we rule this area. We should rule this area. It shouldn't be the occult. You know, it shouldn't be false religions. It should be the church, right? We should move in power. And the second part, too, is the demonstration should be lived out through our lives. I think it's a lot of times what people want to see, they want to see a visible demonstration. And that's by which we live our lives. You know, that's when, you know, everything is going wrong and we lose our jobs. And yet there's this peace that transcends all understanding. And you watch, people are looking out for you. You know, you're at work and you've expressed to your colleagues that you're a Christian. They're watching you. And, you know, not to, you know, I mean, in most cases, not to bring you down. But there's this little thing, you know, like, I wonder if this whole faith thing is true. Let's see how this guy lives his life. You know, let's see how he treats his wife. You know, let's see how he is with his family. You know, let's see how he does at work. You know, let's see how he, you know, he operates in his speech. Let's see how he is when we go out at night. You know, they're looking, you know, but because the world is hungry for a demonstration. You know, you're familiar with Gandhi, you know, and Gandhi, who was a seeker, you know, Gandhi, you know, very, very easily, you know, simply said in one of his memoirs, right, he says, you know, because he was intrigued with Jesus, and he just simply said, if the church, right, if in India, if the Christians in India, if they lived out Jesus, if they lived like Jesus did, he said, all of India would be saved. It's a simple point, right? I mean, it's just, all of India would be saved. He says, no-brainer. Right? But he was reading the Gospels, he was reading about Jesus, and then he looked at the visible demonstration of Jesus, which was the Christians in India at the time, and he said, oh, there's something wrong with this picture. Right? And he rejected the faith. Right? So it's a demonstration of power, right? It's also a demonstration of our lives. And so he's talking about this wisdom, right? And he says, look, you can't take any credit for this wisdom. This wisdom has come down from God. Right? And so the whole point again, so why are you making divisions? You know, why are you creating schisms? And I didn't mention it yesterday, but the word schism, right? You know, it's not just a disagreement on points, you know, like it's like, you know, maybe I don't like Rayfield, so I just don't want to, you know, there's a division there. A schism, right, usually connotates some error of teaching, you know, or some kind of theological or kind of an arguing point there, right? That's generally what a schism is, you know, compared to like just being plain a division, right? Because, you know, you could just be divided because you just don't like a group of people, right? And there could be division that way. But a schism means something a little bit more. And so it was on in probably an issue of teaching, you know. And like I mentioned yesterday, it's most likely the Judaizers, the ones that were trying to turn the Gentiles into Jews, you know, and probably over, you know, issue of food, like we saw in Romans. You know, it could be an issue of the Jewish rituals or whatnot. And so it's some kind of theological base. You know, and so he's saying, look, even this wisdom that comes down, it's not because you did something, it's because of God. And so, you know, why are you taking credit, you know, for all these things? You know, and then furthermore, right, it's the Spirit, you know, that is the one that's relaying these messages to us because, you know, the Spirit knows the mind of God. And then verse 14, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised, right? Spiritually appraised, meaning they're spiritually examined, right? You know, and so we see, right, a natural man that just does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. You know, and as we try to witness to people, we see this, right? You know, people read, you know, read the book and, you know, maybe they're all these things, but it takes illumination, doesn't it? You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've, you know, before I gave my life to the Lord and I'm reading the scriptures, I'm just lost, right? But then as I start trusting the Lord, you know, and all of a sudden things begin to be opened up to me. In fact, you know, to this day, you know, I mean, this is not a point of pride or anything, but it's a point of my, you know, absolute need. I will not read the scriptures without praying first. You know, whenever I open the book, I don't care if it's for a quiet time or it's for a study or anything. My first thing, as soon as I open the book, I'll close my eyes and I'll ask God to give me revelation. I'll ask God to just show me something, you know, and because it's a difficult book, right? A natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God, you know, and so what does that mean? We got to move from being natural to be spiritual, right? You know, and so it's not like the book changes. I need to change. You know, and so I need to ask God, I need to humble myself and ask God, Lord, reveal yourself to me through the text. You know, Jesus, you know, show me. Right? Remember in Acts 1, it says Jesus, these are all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. He never stopped teaching the church. In fact, he's still teaching the church. Even this morning, if you get anything by which I'm saying, it's because Jesus is teaching you. You know, I'm not trying to say I'm Jesus here, right? But it's the work of the Spirit of God, right? That's illuminating, right? That's quickening something in your heart, and you're receiving something from God. You know, it's not the words coming out of my mouth, right? It's the words, right, that Jesus is placing in your heart. And if any growth, Jesus is the one that's doing it. And so when we come to the scriptures, you know, we need to be humble, right? We need to understand, wow, a natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. You know, faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. You know, but even that faith, right, we walk by that faith. You know, and then we step in faith, and then God begins to prove that faith out in our lives. You know, and so, there's an aspect there that as we come to the scriptures, we come to anything that's spiritual. You know, that's why one of the things that you need to do when you're praying for your friends, you know, to come to the Lord and all these kind of things, you need to pray. You know, the Bible tells us the God of this world has blinded the mind of the unbeliever so they cannot see the light of the gospel, right, the light of the glory of God. And so we need to be aware, right, that there's a spiritual thing that's taking place. You know, and so it's not just merely sharing the message, right? It's praying through. You know, it's praying and making sure that God's, you know, that God opens their heart to receive what he has in store for them. So let's close our eyes today. Paul shares, you know, in a real simple way, his reliance on the Spirit. Whatever knowledge that he has, whatever, you know, things that happen in his life, Paul's saying it's not me, it's the Spirit that just brings the grace to understand the scriptures, to understand spiritual things. Because remember, in chapter 1, he ended it off by saying, no man will boast. And so he's continuing that thought. We can't boast at all about what we have in God. So why are you causing divisions? All right, that's the main point again. So why are you causing divisions? You can't boast by anything. You didn't do anything. So why are you creating these schisms? You know, there's so much in this chapter, but, you know, one thing that I'm really touched with is, you know, Paul, I mean, probably the most educated guy in the New Testament, but so humble. Understands, right? Understands very well that the wisdom to change people's lives come from God. The grace to touch people, to change people's minds, comes from God. Doesn't come from his intellect. Doesn't come from his abilities. Doesn't come from his learned knowledge. It comes from God. And there's this absolute dependency upon him. Right? I think we need to operate in that same sphere, saying, God, we're just so dependent. We are reliant on the Holy Spirit. Not a man wills, not a man runs, but God who has mercy. And so, as we worship the Lord, so encourage you to begin to express your dependency on the Lord and His Spirit. Let's pray this morning for ourselves and our community. Let's pray that there would be a real deep, deep dependence on the Lord for everything we do. Right, that the Spirit of God is the one that leads our lives, not ourselves. That even in your work, right, in your relationships, in your finances, you know, in the way that you spend your time, there would just be a reliance on God. That God would rule, well, He would reign over all these areas of our lives. And in that, God would just do something quite significant in and through us. So let's pray together right now. Let's pray for our community. Let's lift up all the ones that are battling with cancer and the different growths. I talked to Leanne yesterday, last night, and she's doing quite well. She got moved out of, the intensive care unit, and so she's back in the normal unit. And she said she's probably been in Singapore for about 2 or 3 weeks. And so we just continue to pray for her. Let's pray for the ones that are going through chemotherapy. We prayed yesterday for Anna Chen and Katie Chen, and Pete emailed me last night and he said Anna got healed. And so she's at the hospital. She's been on IV for the last 3 or 4 days. And you know, after like 3 o'clock yesterday, right, they prayed for her and the pain just left. And so she got released from the hospital and really, really good stuff. And so let's just continue to press in prayer and just pray for our community that we'd have great testimonies over all the ones that we're praying for right now. So let's lift up. Let's pray for our members' families that are sick but also need to get saved, you know. Especially, you know, a few of these people, they follow and serve after other gods. And let's pray that God would just intervene and do something significant in their lives. Let's pray for ones that are sick and others that are looking for work and whatnot. Soojin particularly has a job interview today at noon. And so we can lift her up during that time. So let's pray for our friends. With our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the local ministries and the churches. And you'll be getting a devotional this Sunday that's been produced by all the international pastors here in Hong Kong. And looking through yesterday, it's pretty good, right? And so there's a real sense of unity here, especially amongst the international churches, at least. And so let's just continue to pray that momentum would go forward. Let's pray for YWAM, Hong Kong, SSI, Shanti Ministries, and Masters Beauty. Let's pray for Jimmy and Face to Face. Pray for Zhengsheng College, Almond, Armanda Feed the Hungry, and pray for Anil at CSW. Anil is leaving this Sunday night, and he's going to Sri Lanka, and he's going to be ministering to about 300 displaced pastors. Right? You know, there's a war going on there, especially against the church. And so he's ministering to 300 pastors that actually lost everything, lost their churches, their homes. And so let's just pray for a real covering for Anil this next week as he goes. So just lift up Hong Kong and let's pray that this would be the place where God's glory dwells and the presence of God would come. And let's just pray for just this place that we call home at this time in our lives. Let's pray for our church ministries. Let's pray for all the servants that help out. Let's pray for our worship team, for our leaders, for our sound and media team, and for our welcoming hospitality ministry and our barista ministry. Let's pray for the leaders and everyone that serves. And you know, they would serve with a pure heart, right? Give everything they have and operate out of excellence and out of a worshipful heart. And so let's pray for all of our servants and leaders. Let's pray for all of our activities over the weekend. Let's pray tonight for McCain House Church. Let's pray for a real glorious time. Let's pray for our activities. Let's pray for IP. That's meeting tonight. They're also meeting tomorrow on Saturday to do some vision casting and just really hear from the Lord about the ministry. Let's pray for we have premarital counseling tomorrow as well. Ask God's hand to be with all of our people as they come together. The guys are playing ball tomorrow as well. Pray for a wonderful time of fellowship. Obviously, our two Sunday services. Pray for the youth group, Noah's Ark, all the different aspects, the preaching of the word, the worship teams. We have a steering committee meeting tomorrow afternoon as well. And then, on Sunday afternoon, in between the services, and then Sunday night, there is the married couples Valentine's dinner. And so let's just cover our weekend and just ask God's hand to be with us and just let there be a real grace over this congregation and that people would grow, people would just fall deeper in love with God and just be passionate to pray. And so let's lift up our weekend before the Lord. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for a wonderful weekend ahead of us, Lord. And God, we thank you for 1 Corinthians chapter 2, God. And Lord, we rely on you. We rely on the Spirit of God. Lord, there's nothing that we can take credit for ourselves, God. It's by your mercy, Lord. And even the wisdom that we have, God, comes from you, Lord. And any understanding and revelation that we have comes from you. And so we pray, God, that you would just mark us with that deep, deep sense of humility, God, and dependence upon you for everything we have in Christ. And so we thank you, Father. We will pray that we just watch over us this weekend, God, and every time the people of God would gather together, Lord, Jesus, come. Where you say, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. And so, Lord, just come in the midst of us, God. Lord, we don't want anything else, Lord. We just want your presence. Because where your presence is, Lord, there is fullness of life. And so we thank you, Father. Lord, just continue to watch over us, Lord, and help us, God, to be agents of change, God, wherever we go. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great prayer time, and we'll see you at church over the weekend.